So good to be in the house of God this morning. God bless you. There's a lot of you here today. Praise the Lord for that. It's a good place to be, especially Palm Sunday. I want to thank the Lord for the salvation of my soul and the forgiveness of my sins, and that I have my family, my wife Gina, here with me and my family. Thank the Lord and honor that we have our pastors here, Pastor Angela and Pastor David, and the ministry that's here. I thank you, and you know what it is to be up here spreading this Rhema word. And I want to acknowledge those who are joining us on Facebook. You are a blessing to us, and we want to be a blessing to you, and we thank you for that. Call us and let us know if we could be of service to you in ministry, and God be praised. Amen. I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm kind of nervous. Yeah. I'm like a little kid here. I'm trying to find my page. And isn't that something? Oh, praise God. Well, I want to turn your Bibles with me or your laptops or whatever you're using at this moment to a couple of pieces of scripture before we start. First one, Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. Just before, I believe, Malachi. Praise the Lord. Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you, triumphant," say triumphant, "triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." I would like to also turn your Bibles to Psalms 24, Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. Psalms 24, verses 7 through 10. "Lift up your gate, your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. "Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. I speak to you this morning on the subject, when Jesus came into my heart. When Jesus came into my heart. Father, it is so important that I decrease and you increase. I don't mind if they forget my name, as long as they know your name, Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. And Lord, we confess that you are Lord this morning. We have people watching over Facebook, Lord. We ask for their needs, that you would reach out to them. And this morning, if someone out there, Lord, needs to let Jesus in, they would do so. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people say, amen. When Jesus came into my heart. Jerusalem, around this time, many years ago, was very busy. It's a Passover, Palm Sunday. Massive crowds attended the annual celebration. It was commemorating when Jehovah God delivered the Israelites, beginning that Exodus experience. We all read that. It was busy, busy, busy. Busy city. Transportation business was booming. The donkeys were running left and right. That was the Uber of that time, the donkeys. It was a busy time of year. One particular Passover, I tell you this, it's a story. The donkeys and colts, they were kind of huddled up talking to each other, talking about how that day went. It's busy, busy, busy. And they were talking among each other. And there was one particular colt, first time on the job. First time on the job. Was simply kind of odd. He says he was so odd at this first chance to be out there. First timer. But as a first timer, he was not going to make it easy on anybody. First timer colts are kind of rough to ride. They're not used to being ridden on. But, you know, he accounted that he was telling the other donkeys and colts, you know what, guys, these two men came for me. And they asked specifically for me, which made me feel quite special. So he felt, you know, not being able to help himself, he goes along with these two guys. Goes along with them. But before you know it, there's somebody on his back. And so the colt says, you know, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to go with this program. Before he realized, he was riding towards the eastern gate there in Jerusalem. And this man on his back, he went along. And what made him feel special, the colt was recounting that day, was the massive crowd that came out to meet him. The massive crowd that came out to meet the colt, you know. He said, and these are his words. I mean, the crowds were so excited that they cheered me with some strange cheer. They threw their cloaks and palm leaves on the path. And, me, first timer, was walking on towards Jerusalem. It was a very strange thing, but very invigorating. He says, I began to hope that the man on my back wasn't feeling uncomfortable with all the attention I was getting. I was hoping, you know. Okay, the lesson of the story here, because I need to preach. The lesson here is, if this ever happens to you, ask yourself, who are the crowds really cheering? Who are the crowds really cheering? I feel like that donkey today. Let Jesus be glorified. End of story. But on a more serious note, so many stories can be told about the triumphal entry. Like the fact that many years before, there was another triumphal entry through the same path there. It was on a royal mule, also with much celebration. Same path. The declaration of that time, though, was Solomon when he was this was true king, also the son of David. We can read 1 Chronicles and 1 Kings and get the whole story of how that happened. But the same path, that the fact that Jesus entered Jerusalem on the colt as prophesied, not the day before, not the week before, but almost 500 years before. That's another story. We can preach that and talk about how that happened. Interestingly enough, even 33 years before this man was on the colt, there was a young pregnant mother carrying the Savior of the world also on a donkey on the way to Bethlehem. Her name was Mary. We can talk about that. The fact that the gate Jesus rode, the gate alone that Jesus rode through, was called the Eastern Gate, which if you look at a map in Jerusalem, that gate right now leads into the Temple Mount. Into the Temple Mount. And what's important, well, the Temple Mount, the gate was also located, and it was also called the Golden Gate, the Beautiful Gate, and it was also called the Gate of Mercy. It was called Sha'ar Haram Shamin, that's the Hebrew, where in ancient times, the Jews used to pray before in front of that gate. And they used to ask for the Almighty God for, guess what? Mercy. They would pray asking for mercy. And that's another story we can talk about. Although the gate presently is sealed shut. And it was opened and shut. You read the history, opened and shut a couple of times. But presently, that gate is shut. But the one who entered through that gate over here on Palm Sunday, the Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah, remains, and his mercies endure forever. Come on, give it to the Lord if you're going to give it to him. I mean, Pastor Joel, out of all the gates, He had to pick this one, the Eastern Gate. We can go on from there. But the people also, if you recognize, if you read that story, Mark, all of the Gospels, there's no synoptic problem there. All the Gospels recount that story. The people, they knew the welcoming song of this entry. It had been sung many other celebrations. And they, like we sang Christmas songs, you know, put a Christmas song up, right away we know that song. Well, this particular song also was sung by them many times, many years, for a couple of celebrations. Quote, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's right out of Psalms 118, 24. That was one of the popular songs to welcome in that time of year. The people who were walking alongside him, though, you know, I want you to pick a word for these people. Because these people were either mesmerized, they were bedazzled. You know, here's this Jesus and walking on the cold. And this is royalty. But these people were so hypnotized. They were so spellbound, enthralled. They were so fascinated by all this celebration, by this Jesus of Nazareth who could perform many miracles and the teachings he gave. I mean, just read the previous chapters and some of the teachings that he gave. It called out these people. People were moved and gripped. Unfortunately, the people thought they were seeing a conqueror, one who would, quote, save them from Roman rule. They saw him as a political figure. Although many of them worshipped, shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. What does Hosanna, that sounds like a great celebration name. You know what that means? It means save us now, I beseech you. They were calling out to Jesus to save us. Hey, they were happy he was there, but now that you're here, would you come and save us? We've been under this subjugation for too long now. They were shouting Hosanna, but these same people who would shout Hosanna, 4 days later, they turned their backs on him and were shouting, crucify him. Crucify him. They failed to see him as a suffering servant. They failed to see him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sins. But he would ascend. He would not ascend. Just Jesus would not ascend to a throne. He wasn't there to sit on the throne. He was there to be nailed to a cross. Not ascend to a throne, but ascend to a dying, to die on a cross. So to the chief priests and the scribes, it was a confusion for them. Because this man is a blasphemer, if anything. This man, it was a threat to their position before the Jewish people. That's all it was, basically. To the Roman rulers, well, we may have a political problem here, guys, to their power and their rule. So they were stirred in that way. However, there was a group that was not in the know about this. They kind of were stirred by the crowd, and they really didn't understand. Upon entering Jerusalem, the crowd seeing the great hubbaloo, you know that hubbaloo? You know, I looked that word up. It is in there, hubbaloo. That great noise, that great just stirring, and what they believe, and you know, they asked the question of questions. It says in Matthew 21:10, when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city, not just part of it, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? Who is this? Do you know that question is still being asked? You talk to them about Jesus. It says, who is this? I'm going to ask you to allow this humble preacher here this morning to try to make some justice and answer that question. I'll try. Who is this? He is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one who brings salvation. That was already established earlier in his ministry. Again, read some of the verses before. But read way back when. in Isaiah 61, where he, you know, he goes into the temple and he picks a portion of scripture to read. And out of all the scripture he could have read, he reads Isaiah. Jesus reads from Isaiah. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery to the sight of the blind." This Messiah is here to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He rolls up this scroll. He gives it to the attendant. And today in Luke 4:18-21, he says, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Who is this? Who is this? He is the fulfillment of prophecy. Bible scholars have found that there's around maybe more than 300 prophecies in the Old Testament regarding Jesus. These cover everything from Jesus' birth. They talk about Jesus' ministry, death, resurrection, and his role in the church. Why is that important? Because mathematically, the mathematical probability that just a handful, not 300, but just a handful, the probability of these coming to pass is highly, highly improbable. Almost impossible. Mathematically, 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's how improbable they are. And yet, more than 300 have been counted and seen that this man is an answer to prophecy. "Who is this?" they ask. "He comes in humbleness, not on a stallion, but on a donkey. A sign of one who comes in peace. And he is called the Prince of Peace." And the angels sing about him over there in Luke. If we read Luke 2:14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And of this peace, Jesus himself says in John 14:27, we all know that. "Peace I leave you, my peace I give." And then, see, here's a kind of caveat, kind of this, you know, an explanation. "I don't give it to you as the world gives." Let's get that straight from the beginning, mister. "I don't give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Who is this? The question is, he is the King of Israel. The King of it, the coming to rule, not nations, but the heart and minds of people. And that's where they got it wrong. They thought that he was going to rule the nation. He wanted to rule their hearts. The sovereign conquering of sin. Who is this? The Son of David, the line of royalty who deserved to be worshipped and praised. Who is this? He is the Son of God. He is the mighty God, powerful to perform miracles. He is the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world, appearing during Passover. Out of all the times to appear during Passover, he is the Passover Lamb of God. He is the resurrection to seal the deal. He is the resurrection to seal the whole plan he had already told his disciples before the entry. He tells them, probably on three occasions, he tells them, "This is what's going to happen, guys. They're going to celebrate me. They're going to blaspheme me. They're going to spit on me. They're going to put a thorn in robes." And he lined up what was going to happen to him. Knowing the beginning and the end, he and his entry could be nothing but triumphant. That is why they call this the triumphal entry. Because of who he is. Because of who Jesus is. Because of who is going through that gate. More than what they say, just the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. No, he's more than that. It is because he who he is. Because when Jesus came into my heart, and this is my testimony, when Jesus came into my heart, he knocked. He knocked. And says out there in Revelation 3:20, he says, "I am here. Here I am. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Theologians, I realize that this verse is speaking to a church already. It is already speaking to Laodicea. But the content of it reveals the character of Jesus. Jesus desires to enter our hearts, but he awaits the call for fellowship from us. He wants to enter in triumphantly, but in this case, he waits. Until when? Well, in the case of this, your servant here, in case of my case, 53 years ago, I answered the door. And I let him into my heart. Hallelujah. And when Jesus came into my heart and when he came into your heart, all your sins, all our sins were forgiven. Oh, glory to God. I have a few verses here, and you can show them. I may not read them, but you can go ahead and show these verses. Micah 7, 18 and 19 says, Who is a God like you who pardons sins and forgives the transgression of the remnant of his inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. You will again have compassion on us. You will tread the sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depth of the sea. When Jesus came into my heart, church, since then I have new life. We have new life. You know what the Bible says. I have been crucified with Christ. And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I become a child of God. When Jesus came into my heart and to your heart, we became children of God. When he came into our lives and to our hearts, he broke relationship we had. He fixed the relationship we had with God. It says in Romans 5:10, for if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him, how? Through the death of his Son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through life? When Jesus came into our hearts, I have the peace of God. You know, we have the peace of God. It's a gift. I hope someone who listens today says, you know what? Already there's around three or four of those that I want. That's my prayer right this morning, that we create in people a desire for Jesus. That's evangelistic right there. Creating a desire. We have peace. And the peace of God which transcends understanding. That peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. When we came to Jesus, when I came to Jesus, my conscience is clean. My conscience is clean. He intended it to be that way. It's his will. It says in 1 John 1:9, says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Say, he is faithful. If we confess our sins, he is faithful, church. People, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. To what? To forgive us. He is faithful to forgive us our sins, but he goes beyond forgiveness. He cleanses. He goes back in here somewhere. Hallelujah. He goes in here somewhere and he cleanses us of all unrighteousness. Oh, glory to God. Not only does he cleanse our conscience, he loves us unconditionally. When Jesus comes into our hearts, he loves us unconditionally. For the Lord is good, says Psalm 105, verse 5. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Hallelujah. He is our refuge. You can praise him, church. You can praise him if you want. The Bible says that he is our refuge. When Jesus came into our hearts, he filled us. He says, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. When Jesus comes into our heart, we are really, really free. We are really free. He keeps his word. When he comes into our heart, he keeps his word. He is forever working in us as our pastor reminds us, we are a work in progress. He is always working in us. Be in confidence, that's Philippians 1:6, of this, that he who began the good work will carry it on to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, if that's not enough, he's a friend. I've experienced that personally. When Jesus came into my heart, the many years ago, and the many years later, he is my friend. He no longer says, calls me a servant, but he calls me a friend. Do you want that? Does anyone here want that? He is my rest. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I'm going to conclude this morning. Not before I tell you that this list that I gave you is a short list. We can go on for another hour on this, because God has been real good. God has been real good to me. You're good to my family. Jesus says, come to me. Is anyone here, anyone listening to us, aren't you tired of going to everyone else and everywhere else and not finding rest for your soul? You're just as restless as ever. I invite you to let a triumphant Jesus into your life. If you got to redo this morning, I'm not going to ask anyone to doubt their salvation. Please don't do that. But I'm going to encourage you, if you're lagging behind, you need to catch up. You need to follow up a little. I'm going to invite you to let this triumphant Jesus into your heart. Prophetically speaking of that triumphant entry, the psalmist, that's what he speak about. He speaks about in Psalm 24, 7 and 10. When he says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors. Somebody open up. He says, open up, gates. Lift up your head that the King of glory may come in. This is Jesus, the triumphant Jesus. Who is the King of glory? The Lord. You know why he is strong and mighty? Because we need somebody strong and mighty. I don't know about you, but I do. In my life, with the challenges before my life and my family, we need someone strong and mighty. Am I alone on this? I don't think so. Mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors. That the King of glory may come in. And then who is he? Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. That was one songwriter. Another songwriter put it a lot simpler. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. May God add a blessing to his word this morning.
Wow. Simply profound. He is that and a whole lot more. And what he means to us personally. That's why a million songs have been written about him. And 10 million books have been published that cannot still describe the wonders of his love, the majesty of his glory, and the magnitude of his power. Hallelujah. What is God writing in your life? If you were a book, if you were a novel, let God write his story in you, because your life is important to God. God did not create us as cookie cutters, you know. We're not all clones of one another. Each one of us has a unique relationship with God that is special to him. And he is looking forward to the intimacy that you bring, the friendship that you bring to the equation. I know this may blow your mind, but God is looking for your friendship. Isn't that amazing? That with all the people that he already has in his kingdom, he still wants you. He wants you. He wants your personal friendship. He wants a relationship with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand together? And Pastor Angela, why don't you come to the keyboard for a second? We'll sing that little chorus. Hallelujah, that Brother Joe described. I want to pray, first of all, for those who are watching online this morning. And I feel there's somebody out there where God is knocking. God is knocking. Pastor Joe said it so beautifully. On your heart's door, he's waiting. He's not going to force his way into your life, because love is something that is voluntary. There are some things that you really cannot force, and love is one of them. You can't force love. It has to be given freely. And so God is looking for you to open the door of your heart. Amen? And so I'm going to pray, first of all, for those of you who are watching on Facebook, and I'm going to ask you, if you want to take a step towards Jesus, you want to invite him into your heart, you want to ask him to forgive you of your sins. That's why you tuned in today. That's why God allowed you to live long enough to hear this message, that today could be a day of deliverance for you. Today you can be made brand new. For the Bible says, if any man or woman is in Christ Jesus, they are a brand new creation. Old things pass away and all things become new. And so if you're watching, just say this simple prayer from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I invite you today to come into my heart. I want to release my past. I want to give up my fear. I want to give up trying to run my own life the way I think is right. I'm going to ask you to be the Lord of my life. I respect you, Lord, as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge that you died for my sins on that cross, and that your precious blood paid the price so that I could be reconciled to God. I accept you as my Lord and Savior today. Please walk with me for the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Can we sing that? Into my heart, into my heart. Into my heart, into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Into my heart. Sing it to him this morning. Into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. My heart, Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about three different kinds of hearts. It talks about a heart that has just been really treated very hard and very rough. And because of all the rough experiences and hurts, it's become like people walk on it. You ever feel like somebody was walking on your heart and trampled by the feet of men. And as a result, the heart has become very hard. And then there's one that is got topsoil, but underneath the topsoil, there's the rocks. There's rocks. The topsoil allows the plant to grow a little bit, but when the roots want to go deep, it hits the rocks and the plant withers and dies. So those rocks have to be dealt with. And then there's a third kind of heart that it seems to be doing okay with God, but there's competition with the weeds. There's weeds and thorns that are growing, and so the good seed is choked and it cannot be fruitful and grow. See, God wants your heart to be cleared of all that other stuff. And I feel like I'm speaking to somebody this morning. God is saying, what else is in your heart besides Jesus? What else is crowding your heart right now? What else is dominating your thinking right now? And Jesus is saying, will you let me be? Will you let me be the Lord of your life? Will you let me sit on the throne of your heart? Will you let me be the center of your life? And would you close your eyes right now? And if you're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to give up the hardness. I'm willing to pull out the rocks. I'm willing to get rid of the weeds and the other competing things in life, the anxiety and the cares of many other things. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to be the center of my life and sit right on the throne of my heart. If that's you this morning, would you lift a hand and say, yes, Jesus, I want you to be the center. Be in the center of my heart, Lord. Sit on the head chair, Lord. Sit at the head of the table. Would you put your hand up right now and say, yes, Jesus, that's me, Lord. I want you to be the center of my life. Amen. Sing it one more time. Into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I hope as a result of listening to this beautiful message, you made some decisions that go beyond a sense of duty, like, okay, I came to church, I tried to make God happy. You know, I tried to make my mother happy, my dad happy, or whatever. There's only one really good reason for being here today, and that's because I want to meet with Jesus. The only right reason, the good reason, I want to get closer to God. I want to renew my faith today. I want to renew my love for God. I want to renew my friendship with Jesus today. I hope you chose to make those kinds of decisions today. Amen. Reverend Joel, would you come up? I know you opened in prayer, but I want you to close in prayer this morning. Just pray a blessing over this house and for those who made that decision to invite Jesus, like Brother Joe said, into their hearts. Thank you, Brother Joe. Let's give our dear brother an encouragement this morning. What a beautiful word. Really from the heart of God. Really.
Hallelujah. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for this wonderful on-time word, Lord. For such a time as this, you have reminded us of the importance, Lord, of having you, Lord, not just as an object of worship, but a real life experience that flows from within, from our hearts. And so, Lord, for those who have made a decision, Lord, that you should be the Lord of their lives. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, would solidify that decision right now. That there be no turning back, Lord, but a looking forward to Jesus and towards eternity. In the name of Jesus. for those of us who are here, Lord, that your Spirit will continue to usher us, Lord, into your presence with our eyes fixed on the Savior. Lord, we thank you for a week of victory in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, that we're not just going to remember you in this week, but in all of the weeks of our life. You will be the center and the foundation for our lives. And we give you thanks in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus, Lord. Because we are yours and you are ours. To you be the glory and the honor, today and forever. Amen, amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Joe. Just remember, this week, instead of Wednesday night, we're having our Good Friday service. So no Wednesday night, but Good Friday combined at Viva Church, communion together. And then next Sunday, two services, 9 a.m. and 11. Invite somebody next week. God bless you. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen.